You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Movie BS with Aaron Snyder.
Chip and Eric were walking through the woods one night. That's right. When they saw something giving off an eerie light. So bright. Turned out it was an alien meteorite. That's right. And its radiation gave them superhuman insight. So bright.
And on that day, they vowed to use their powers for good instead of evil, swearing to protect mankind from the vile clutches of their evil arch-nemesis, Bad Cinema. And if you find yourself in a bind at the multiplex, not sure what to watch, you too can call on
Movie BS with Aaron Snyder.
Hello. Welcome to Movie BS. With Bear and Snyder. I'm Jeff Bear. I'm your host. Along with me, my co-host, Eric D. Snyder.
Hello, I'm Eric D. Snyder, one of the hosts of this show. That's Jeff Bear, the other host. We are the hosts of this show. We'll be us with Bear and Snyder. Brought to you by OneOfUs.net. I'm playing with the laser pointer with my cat while we do the show.
Oh, I thought you were actually... So I could only see your arm sticking out.
Right.
So I assumed you were just petting the dog cat.
No. He's on the other side of the room. But I'm distracting him with the laser pointer. I wonder sometimes if it's mean, the laser pointer, because he can never catch it. I wonder if that's like somehow existentially cruel to have him chase something that he literally cannot ever catch.
No, my dog does the same thing.
I know, and that might be cruel to him too, is what I wonder.
Okay. This is what I'm deciding.
All right. I don't really think it is, because I think
I can emotionally just decide, nope, that's not cruel.
I think cats enjoy the pursuit. As its own thing.
Oh, that's true. You can't tell because it's a cat. Whereas I know my dog is
having
a good time.
You know if your dog is happy or not. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I would never know if my cat felt frustrated.
Right. Speaking of frustrated, I don't know.
I don't know. Hey, I get to go somewhere. This is going to be fun. I'm going to be out of town, and so is your wife. And you're going to be all by yourself.
Are you guys going on a vacation together? Just be honest.
No, we are going to the same state though.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to Houston to visit my upscale gay friends. I usually go see them after South by Southwest, but I didn't go to South by Southwest this year. So I'm just going to Houston straight because they bought me a plane ticket. I have a strict policy. If you buy me a plane ticket, I will fly anywhere you want me to.
Okay. There it is, everybody.
Yep.
You heard him?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't like to travel.
Not particularly. I like to be places. I just don't like to get there.
I'm just saying, think about, like, what if we have, like, three very rich listeners that are just like, oh, this is the perfect thing.
Like, as a prank, they're going to buy me a plane ticket to somewhere terrible?
You just signed up to be a vacation buddy for somebody.
Having to go on a vacation with someone, that's something else. I'm thinking more like, you fly me to a place.
And then you sit in that room instead of your room.
And I do whatever I want to there. Yeah.
I will hang out with you for about an hour to 3 hours every day if you fly me somewhere. Is that it?
However long the car trip is from the airport back to where I'm staying.
So, yeah, my wife is going to Austin to visit her family. And, my youngest caught wind of this and was like, time for 102 degree temperature.
Nice.
Let's make your life a living hell. So it was like I was in the perfect mood. We're just segueing into this movie. I was in the perfect mood for The Fate of the Furious.
The Fate of the Furious is the first movie we're reviewing.
I needed an escape today. Mm. I needed it. I needed to be done with today. It was a top five annoying day of my little kid, Max. Mm. He wanted to be picked up, but then he wanted to be put down. He wanted to point at things, but then I would bring him those things, and then he'd be very upset that he was touching those things.
Sure,
it was just an awful day.
This goes back to what I've always said, which is that children are terrible.
But I think it'll be nice to have somebody act like they care when I'm on my deathbed.
I mean, yeah, I guess it pays off eventually, from what
I'm
told.
Eventually, there's going to be some dividends here.
You're in the mood for a good escapist movie.
And that's what these movies have been for me. In fact, 5 and 6 were stupid fun, and 7 was a little bit more than that. Like, I was getting the vibe that everybody was getting with Fast and the Furious. I was enjoying myself. I gave that movie a 7. Yeah. I was ready for more insanity that it knew was insane, and sure, add Charlize Theron, let's go for a ride.
All right. Here's where I come to it. Here's what I come to it with. I've seen the other 7, and I like some more than others, but didn't love any of them, and I couldn't tell you which one's anything. Except one of them was Tokyo Drift. 3 was Tokyo Drift, so that one took place in Tokyo. So any memories I have, perhaps, of Japanese people were probably in that one. Everything else, the other 7 are all one big mash, as far as I'm concerned. I cannot tell them apart.
I did realize that, they're a bit mashed. Based on this film and some of the characters that come out to play.
I've only seen one. Actually, I think I did rewatch the first one several years later. But other than that, I've not seen any of these a second time.
And
they don't really stick with you. They're not like really indelible characters and indelible events that stick in your mind. And so,
you know, certain things. You know, like Roman is going to be the one-liner. You know that
if you told me who's the one-liner guy, I would have been, I don't know, probably one of the guys, either Ludacris or Tyrese.
It's Tyrese.
One of those two guys, I guess.
Right.
And if you had said, well, what about who's the beautiful, I guess she's British, black coder hacker lady, I would have said, who? There's a what now?
That's Ramsey.
Yeah, Ramsey. I guess she was in the last one now. I think she was only in the last one. She must have been, apparently. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All throughout this movie, there's lots of references to things like, oh, you've got bad experience with such and such, and oh, remember what happened before? And every time I was like, I do not remember. I will take your word for it that so-and-so has bad experience with such and such.
What about when they were like, hey, should we call Brian? And it's like, no, let's not call Brian.
That's like, yeah, because he's totally alive. He's totally still alive. He's totally dead.
He just wants to retire,
we're just
guys.
Not going
to
call him. Meanwhile, every other person who has ever crossed paths with these people pops up again all the time, no matter how much you want to get away. Only Brian, and I guess his wife, what's her name? Jordana Brewster.
Right.
They all alone managed to stay away from this group.
Somehow this is supposedly like a nod, a respectful nod to Paul Walker somehow, as opposed to killing that character. Whatever.
Yeah.
I have a question for you before we get started.
Okay. Oh, I thought we were halfway done.
They list everybody that's in the movie.
Yeah.
And then they say with Kurt Russell and Charlize Theron. Okay. Would you rather be a with or an and?
I think the and is, I mean, technically and is more prestigious, I believe.
Really?
I believe that is a higher credit.
As opposed to the with?
I think so.
I don't know. It's like with. Oh.
No,
it's also
the,
with this and then who
the
else?
And, but then the and is the final one. The and is the last one.
Yeah, but
one.
The
that's
and is... Oh, and this no, person also.
No. And last but not least, the last name we're going to tell you, the one you're going to remember the most important one.
Then I think it should be and finally. I think they should say that because then it's like, okay, you've given this some. Because otherwise it's like with Kurt Russell and Charlize Theron.
I see. I don't take it that way at all.
Oh, see.
You don't remember the next to last name. You remember the last name.
I remember the withs. I always remember the withs.
Well, that's a you problem. Continuing on.
So the movie starts and we have cars and butt shots and cars and butt shots. And that's the thing with these movies. We have to get that out of the way.
But this time in Cuba.
In Cuba, where Dom immediately becomes a Cuban folk hero. So that's nice. The street racing. The kids love him. You know how when you finish a street race, you pick up a child and like 20 more surround you?
It's like the Messiah. Like the Messiah of street racing.
Yes.
You know what else is fun, good for a laugh, is Vin Diesel speaking Spanish.
Oh, man. Seeing him smile is also interesting because his whole face kind of like falls back into itself. Like it's like something that he's not used to doing. So this movie, I don't know if you guys know, it's about fate. But Dom here says, I choose to make my own fate, which I'm trying to figure out if he knows what fate is. But anyway, Charlize Theron is a hacker named Cypher, and she's making Dom do a lot of stuff because
she
of a reason.
She gets leverage over him, makes him be a bad guy and turn against the family. And family, as you know, she is anti-family. Cypher is anti-family. She mocks Dom's devotion to his family. And by family, I don't mean people related to him. I mean the people that he has, you know, used to steal cars with.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by family, obviously.
Right.
And she mocks that. She wants him to work for her. And so he has to go. He goes rogue. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson even says it. He says, "I saw that look in his eye. I've seen it before. Dominic Toretto just went rogue."
And then other people talk about rogue. And, you know, somebody can't believe that he would possibly go rogue. And that's Letty. And so here's the problem.
Wasn't she? Remember when she was dead?
She was dead, and then she had amnesia.
Came back with amnesia.
I think she was rogue.
She was rogue for a while.
And sure, she did it.
Then she didn't remember being rogue.
Yeah.
Well, two rogues don't make a right.
The problem is, we know Dom is forced into a situation.
Right.
And everybody else has to, all the good guys, his whole team has to sit here and be like, well, now we got to go after him. He's right. Bad.
Because Kurt Russell, whose name is Mr. Nobody, he assembles the team and makes them all go. They have to look for Dom. And guess who they get to help look for Dom? Because you know who else is good at finding Dom? Jason Statham.
Why? Because he is.
He just is. And he has his own revenge reasons against Cypher. And so Jason Statham and The Rock have to fight and work together and fight. They fight and they work together.
Wait, who's fighting?
Jason Statham and The Rock.
Wait, you think they fight in this movie?
Yes, they don't fight. They yell at each other. They have words. They get into their faces.
This is my main problem with this movie. We have all of these characters now.
Yeah.
We have a ton of them, okay? What do we want to see? We want to see something cool in a car, supposedly. Yeah. That's what people are paying for.
Right.
And then one of the best things ever was Dom and The Rock, Dom and Hobbs fighting. And then, you know, the next time around, we have Deckard and Hobbs fighting. And it's like all of these things
are
possible.
Why are you saying their character names? Like, you know their character names.
Sorry. But I'm just saying, like, these are all things that can happen in all of these movies. Does anybody – okay, so I know that The Rock fights a bunch of no-names, and he's clearly become superhuman.
He has superhuman strength. He's not like a comic
rubber
book hero now.
Make him laugh.
He picks up a guy with one hand and throwing him around. He's got superhuman strength, yes.
So he fights nameless people.
Right.
Dom is fighting nameless people, even though the whole thing is, go steal this, great, and then his team arrives, the good guys that we're used to, they arrive too late, they can't catch him, he gets away. And then repeat, and then repeat, and then repeat. And it's exhausting. This movie is comically long for what it's trying to say.
It's 134 minutes long, and all it's trying to say is, vroom, vroom, cars go smash!
But there's no good...
And family.
There's no good car sequence. And what I mean by that is cars do things, and you look at cars, and people that think cars are pretty will like a lot of the things that they see in this movie, but there is not an amazing chase sequence to be had here. And there is, like, Charlize Theron is in this movie. I don't know if you recall, but she was in a movie called Mad Max that was brilliantly visual to look at. It was just like jaw-dropping. Everything felt real. You assumed some things were CGI, but you had to wait to find out. This, to me, feels like, I don't know, whatever. Like, I know things are happening, but there's no oomph in it for me. Like, the cars aren't doing anything incredible. Computers are doing something incredible.
Hang on. I'm having a technical problem. I think I'm accidentally replaying my own comments about every single one of the other movies. Wow, that's weird. But you're talking about this one, the eighth one.
I'm talking about this.
Huh, yeah, huh.
Oh, and by the way, this is what they give Charlize Theron to do. She mainly, the majority of the time, sits in a room. There's a lot of computers in it. Somebody at a computer is looking at a screen and tells her what's happening, and then occasionally says, "What? Let me see that." Yeah. That's what they have her do.
You forget what else she gets to do, which is have dreadlocks.
Yes,
blonde dreadlocks.
She gets to have that. There's
some fun-ish action sequences. The big one is out on the ice. That's a big fun, stupid one.
There's a big one in the ice.
Lots
there's
of destruction of cars in New York City. New York City famed for its wide, empty streets, perfectly suitable for car chases.
by the way, with that, I feel like this movie has the potential to set back. You know how carless driving is going to be a thing?
It's coming. Yeah, yeah. You don't mean carless driving.
Or I don't mean carless.
Driverless cars. There you go.
Driverless cars.
Carless driving, that's called buses.
Auto driving is going to be a thing. It's going to happen in our society.
I enjoyed that stupidness, what they did with it there.
Yes, but here's the thing. This is going to set stupid people back. Like, stupid people are like, oh, no. I can't have those cars. I've seen what they're capable of now.
Well, wouldn't you agree those people shouldn't drive those cars or shouldn't have those cars?
No, those are the exact people that should be behind the wheel of something that they can't control.
Mm.
Stupid people should not be behind the wheel.
Fair enough.
All right.
There's, you know, a total of 20 to 30 minutes of good, fun action. And then, yeah, you know, an hour and 45 minutes of dumb soap opera melodrama of who's the bad guy. And, oh, and you're my father. And I found out about this person who's not dead after all. And this person is alive. And this person betrayed me. And all this dumb nonsense that's been in all these movies. And if you're invested in the characters, then more power to you. And I guess this will maybe satisfy you, maybe. Or maybe you'll be upset because of what they do with some of the characters. But if they're just nameless, recognizable actors doing their stupid things for eight movies now, it's just more of that.
Well, and this, I would say this one's not fun.
It's not, but that's what I've said about most of them.
I have found fun in others. I have found lunacy.
I found about as much fun in this one as I found in the others, I think, like on average.
When The Rock says, you know, like to his ragtag team, oh, and to Scott Eastwood, who's added to the group for no good reason.
He's there. His character, he's introduced, I'm convinced, to be a replacement for Kurt Russell, who will be less expensive.
His character is just a
duplicate of Kurt Russell's character.
But when he says to his team, let's stop World War III, there's nothing fun about the delivery, the moment. There's not over-the-top insanity that can be reveled in here. And that was my main problem with this. It's lost its spark for me, at least this time around.
Yeah, I felt like The Rock was having fun, and he was the one trying to be the one who would deliver the lines. Vin Diesel, the sentient, semi-literate lump of clay, sort of, you know, mumbles around being Vin Diesel like he does. He's separated from the rest of the cast for most of the movie.
Wise choice, people.
I assume it's because he has no charisma with anyone.
He doesn't get along with others.
No, just separate him from everybody because he's just this big, useless lump.
Deckard, Jason Statham's character, has an almost fun moment on the airplane. Mm-hmm. He's on an airplane and there's real potential there. And Jason Statham, who I feel like his charisma has been dwindling over the years for me, but like he proves that he's got a little something going on occasion. Like I wouldn't mind a spinoff of just Hobbs and Deckard with a better screenwriter. Like that could be fun. But yeah, like little things like one character saying you never gave up on me, you never turned your back on me, which like, well, yeah, no, remember this was Dom saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was going after him and trying to stop him. So, well, you know,
What he said was, you never stop believing in me, which he has no evidence for. He has no way of knowing that person did or did not. Tyrese, running joke with him looking at Russian words and not being able to say them and making fun of them. At the Oscars, it was offensive when Jimmy Kimmel fumbled around with Mahershala Ali's name and with the name of one of the pedestrians there. So I assume this is also offensive. I don't know how it all works when you find foreign words funny.
I'm trying to think of anything really exciting to talk about. It really was draining. It was the opposite of what I was hoping for.
It's a C, like most of them, I think.
It's a 4 out of 10 for me. When they have that much potential and that much money to burn and they forget to try to really have fun, like they tried to put on a show, and I understand that idea, but they forgot fun.
And I think they forgot fun back in about 3 or 4, and this was about as fun as most of them. So I'm glad you finally come around and agree with me that they're garbage. And then we come to a movie called Gifted. That only I saw. Nobody else saw it.
I heard it was about a smart kid, and I didn't like that idea, so yeah, couldn't see it.
It is about a smart kid. You'll never guess the name of the actress that plays the little girl. It's McKenna. Little blonde, right. little blonde girl named McKenna. One of probably five or six in her second grade class. McKenna Grace plays young Mary, and Chris Evans, Captain America, is her dad. Well, it's her uncle, actually. We think it's her dad at first, but it's actually her uncle. And so here's the thing. So they live in Florida, and he's just like a dude who fixes boats, just sort of loafs around. And she is super smart, and she's seven, and she's just starting first grade. She hasn't been to school yet, but she's a math whiz, math genius, like prodigy.
Is she a savant?
Like something like that, yeah.
All right.
But so they sent her to school, and Jenny Slate is her teacher. Yeah. And little Mary, she's a bit of a sass mouth because she's smarter than the teacher and smarter than everyone. But they get her under control, and it's all about Captain America, her uncle, wants her to be in a regular school instead of an academy of some kind because his sister, Mary's mother, who committed suicide when Mary was a baby, she was a math whiz and a math prodigy, and she kind of cracked up. And so now Captain America, Frank is his name in this movie, Captain Frank America wants to keep Mary and like have her be a normal kid. She wants to be a normal kid.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Ignore your intelligence.
Well, just don't make that be the focus of your life.
Don't flaunt it.
Don't flaunt it, and don't forget to do other normal things too. Have fun. Well, you know who doesn't like that plan is Captain America's mother. Evelyn.
Mrs. Captain? Oh, okay. Evelyn.
She shows up. She's British, and she lives in Boston. And she says, I'm going to take my granddaughter back to Boston and put her in the fanciest academies and make her into what my dead daughter could have been.
Ouch.
And Frank is like, nuh-uh. And so they have a custody battle. And I appreciate that the movie is not really about the custody battle. Because those are always so
right.
Melodramatic and tears you apart. It's not really about that. And there's some stuff in Family Court, but it's not focused on that.
Just give me a wink. Does the smart kid get to decide her fate in the courts?
You know, she actually does not.
Oh, that was the worst wink I've had. That was not a wink at all.
It is really not up to her.
All right. Is it up to Jenny Slate? Does she get to decide everything?
Well, it's up to a variety of people.
Oh, man.
And this was directed by Mark Webb, who made 500 Days of Summer and The Amazing Spider-Man, and The Amazing Spider-Man 2. And here he is working with another superhero, Captain America.
I wonder why he made this movie. He might like just to get away from it all.
I don't know. And it's nice.
Is it good? Is it charming?
It is good. It's good enough. It's obviously has the story of a really cheesy or tear-jerky or manipulative Nicholas Sparks kind of thing or something, but it's not. It's one of those, but it's well done, and you don't feel manipulated when it tugs at the heartstrings, and the characters are sincere, and they don't overdo the dramatics and the custody battle and the evil grandmother kind of. They don't overdo that. It's all played pretty realistically and nicely, and yeah, it's nice.
We haven't mentioned the lovely Octavia Spencer, who's also in this film.
She is Frank's landlady / neighbor, and sort of she babysits Mary sometimes. Yeah.
Do they have some nice bonding moments?
A little bit, yeah. And Frank, Captain America, starts getting cozy with the teacher, with Jenny Slate too. So there's that aspect of it as well.
Did you know? Because I like Jenny Slate so much, I knew this. Chris Evans and Jenny Slate were together for a while.
Were they?
Yeah. They are not anymore. It actually, she was married, and then I believe she was separated and divorced, and then she was in a relationship with Chris Evans for like almost a year, and she will openly talk about it in interviews.
Well, if you'd been in a relationship with Chris Evans, would you keep it a secret?
No, I would tell everybody.
Right. So it's a nice enough, pleasant little family drama light thing. It's a B- sort of movie. Gifted, good enough, pleasant enough.
You're not Yeah, you're not upset that you sat through it, but at the same time, nice. you're not gonna grab strangers on the street and shake them to tell them about this movie to make them see it.
But when people come up to me at church to say, "Hey, what movie should I see?" Actually, what they've been saying is, I like Beauty and the Beast more than you did. That's what they've all been saying lately. But now I'll say, this is a nice, pleasant little movie for you.
So you're only going to hand them a B minus. Why don't you tell the people at church to go see Get Out? That'd be fun. That's a great movie.
That was 2 months ago. They've already seen that already.
They have?
They did not understand it. So that's Gifted. And then there's another movie. It's called The Void.
It's kind of like getting this weird release, right? Like it's like a super limited, like you might catch it at your theater for a couple of weekend screenings, but then it might not be there during the week.
It doesn't seem to be getting regular release. The Void, it played at Fantastic Fest last fall, and it's not bad. This is another B-minus sort of movie, and here's the kind of movie that it is. It's all the movies. It's got there's like monsters. There's the monster business. It's a pretty good monster effects of, creatures and things. And it's also...
Oh, like some actual physical effects.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's also cult things, like with people wearing robes and hoods. And there's like mad scientist stuff. There's all kinds of stuff going on here. It's set at a hospital. It's a hospital that's about to be closed. But they bring... Good. A cop brings in an emergency... into the hospital and sort of the remaining skeleton crew. And then there are these hooded figures that surround the hospital, won't let anybody leave. And there's a couple of guys with guns, and it's all about somebody is dangerous and there's some kind of a virus and there's like a thing making people go.
Wow.
And there's like some stuff reminding me a bit of Alien, of like things getting inside of people and coming out of people. And
oh, that's good.
It's all that kind of business. And it's not great and it's kind of sloppy and crudely put together, but it if you generally enjoy these sorts of movies, I think you get a kick out of The Void. Go see it at your nearby midnight screenings or something.
Almost a B movie kind of thing,
yeah.
A nod to B movies.
Yeah. It's like it's not trying to reinvent the wheel. It doesn't think that it's anything brilliant, but it's a reasonably good exercise of some good old fun horror tropes. So yeah. Good enough, The Void. And here in Portland, it's at the Hollywood Theater. Why I happen to see it. So there you go. Those are those movies. I have no more movies to tell you about.
I don't think I do either. Let me check. Nope.
Now, as for your DVD releases, we have a giveaway. We have a giveaway this week.
We do have a giveaway. But a giveaway
for the future. It's not out yet.
That's right. The Founder. Michael Keaton is...
Ronald McDonald.
The Founder. This is the story of how McDonald's got its start. And we are giving a copy away. And I don't know if you guys remember. I loved the first hour of this film. Nick Offerman's in it. Like, everything's just amazing. It's great. It's so much fun.
Michael
it
Keaton's
makes
really good.
Business fun.
Yeah.
Just like Michael J. Fox was able to make being a Republican fun in Family Ties.
Mm-hmm.
This first hour is a lot of fun.
To be fair, in the 80s, being Republican actually was fun.
That's true. So yeah, win this movie and watch the first hour. Go ahead and then hit pause and just be done.
Is that the terms of the giveaway? Are you
no.
allowed to say that?
No, you can watch the whole thing. And the second half isn't bad. It's just different.
Well, it's too bad because the guy turns out to be kind of a bastard.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The founder, not the founder, the guy who stole McDonald's from the guys who founded it. Spoiler
but anyway,
that's the giveaway.
And how do people? How can you even win this?
Well, first of all, you have to be one of our agents, which means that you're a Patreon subscriber. And our thanks to the 50 or so of you who are agents. If you are an agent and you desire a copy of The Founder, you just got to send us an email and say, "Hey, I'm an agent. Put my name in the hat."
That's
and
right.
We'll draw one at random. It's that easy. Easy peasy, cheddar cheesy.
And we will give that away on...
You've got through until next Thursday, the 20th.
The 20th. We will give that away on April 20th. That's the deadline.
If you're a patron and you want it, let us know. You can become a patron and then want it. And then next week we'll have another one. I think last week we said we were going to give away La La Land this week, but we lied. We're filthy liars. We're going to do it next week.
We're just toying with you people.
Mm-hmm. Now, as for DVDs you could go and buy or rent your own self this week.
Let's start with the bad first.
Yeah, the Bye Bye Man.
The Bye Bye Man. We know it's bad because we saw it. There's also Monster Trucks.
Which probably isn't good.
Probably. We're not seeing it.
It came out like the second week of January, which is a bad sign.
There is the three-hour and 20-minute German comedy, right?
Was it 3 hours and 20 minutes? I thought it was...
I don't know.
No, I think it was pushing 3 hours. It was like 2 hours to 45. It's long, yes. Tony Erdman.
I haven't seen it yet, and I know I need to. It's just, I got kids, and I got it's just, oh my gosh. When?
Tony Erdman. Tony Erdman is quite funny and quite enjoyable. I like that a lot. I think you should check out Tony Erdman, you people. And they're already talking a remake. In fact, they're going to do an American remake.
Didn't
with Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson came out of retirement. For this movie.
I don't think he was retired, was he?
I don't know. He just hadn't made a movie in a while.
He's just old.
Then there's two other movies that I think are really worth checking. Three others.
Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures, Crowd Pleaser. Your mom and you are going to love this movie.
Yep.
Oh, unless you're a racist. You will not love this movie if you're racist.
Yeah, racists don't come off well in Hidden Figures. Yeah.
Nope. Then there's also Lion. Lion made me weep like a baby.
It's all about lions. It's not about lions. It's about an Indian boy who gets lost and gets adopted by Nicole Kidman.
Gosh.
If you can imagine.
So sad. Not the Nicole Kidman part. In fact, she seems to be a lovely woman.
Seems like
a
fine mother. Yes.
Yes.
Then War on Everyone.
Here's the one that nobody has seen.
Well, they didn't release it.
They didn't release it. I don't know why.
They released it day and date, video on demand, and a small theatrical run, but it just sort of got lost and buried.
Well, it's this new genre that they're trying to start. It's called Buddy Cop. Nobody's ever heard of it before, so then it was all this confusion of I don't understand. What is this thing?
It's hard to sell. Yeah. Okay, it's two guys who are cops and they're buddies. People are like, wait, slow down.
It's the greatest thing ever.
No, it's Michael Peña and Alexander Skarsgård, and they're a couple of bad cops, kind of good enough cops when it comes down to it, basically.
Doesn't matter. They're just so much fun.
But generally.
And awful.
Yeah. Very, very funny and vulgar. You and I rewatched this a couple weeks ago.
We did, and it's really good, people. Mm-hmm. It's official.
I'd give it a B before. I would easily say B+. Maybe
and
A-.
I would say a 9 out of 10 now.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites of the year.
War on Everyone, it's retroactively BS approved.
Yes!
There you go. I'm calling it War on Everyone. Check it out. And that's all. And then you can enter to win the Founder. We should, what we should do? We should, whoever wins it, we should also mail them a hamburger. Should mail them a McDonald's hamburger with it.
I don't think you're supposed to do that.
Oh, I know you're not supposed to. Who said anything about supposed to?
The world ain't made of supposed to's.
The world ain't made of supposed to's.
Oh, and by the way, congratulations to Peter for winning Silence. He was so excited he gave a woohoo. That's how excited he was for winning. So we appreciate your woohoo.
Mm-hmm. See, winners do exist.
Hey, Eric.
How what?
Did you watch something?
That's not what it's called. That's not the name of the segment.
Hey, Eric. What'd you watch?
Well, I watched a movie called Paper Moon. It's from 1973. I had not seen it before. Written and directed directed by Peter Bogdanovich back around the time that he made The Last Picture Show. And it's got Ryan O'Neal and his little girl Tatum O'Neal. And it's in the Depression, and they're con artists.
Here's the thing that's very important for me with this movie. As you know, I worked in a video store.
Yes.
Please tell me at some stage in this film, they're sitting on a moon.
Yes, there's like a photo booth situation, and there's a big okay. cardboard cut out of a moon, and she's there. Yeah,
I've always been curious, just not curious enough to watch the movie. But I'd always wondered. So there we go. All right,
there is a moment there. Yeah, the paper moon, and it's Tatum O'Neill famously won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress at the age of 10, the youngest competitive winner in the history of the Academy Awards.
Was it because she smoked?
She does smoke in the movie, and it's very funny to see this 10-year-old smoking next to her father, Ryan O'Neill. But it really is a charming and cute, funny, and she's a little pistol, that Tatum O'Neill. So I'm glad I finally saw it. It's a deservedly beloved, fondly remembered old film from 1973, Paper Moon, and it's on HBO is where I happen to watch it.
First and foremost, drama or comedy?
It's that in between. It's a comedy that doesn't. Yeah, it's a comedy.
You did watch it, right?
I did watch it.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Your definition of comedy, though, is that it makes you laugh every single minute.
You're right.
It's not that.
You're right.
But it is a comedy.
You're right.
Yeah, but it's not your kind of comedy.
Oh, my kind.
It's not what you mean when you say comedy.
Tall people. Is that what you meant, Eric?
Madeline Kahn's in it too for a little while.
Oh, just a little bit? Oh.
Yeah. She plays a prostitute or something named Trixie Delight.
I don't know. I'm going to say yes.
Oh, exotic okay. dancer is what she was, yes. Anyway, yes, Paper Moon. So then to recap, The Fate of the Furious. It was about par for the course for me, but for you?
I'm down on it.
Down on it.
Don't bother.
I saw somebody who loves these movies say on Twitter that it's the worst one.
Oh, wow.
And that's somebody who loves them. But that could be to do with character or story things that they felt betrayed by or whatever.
Okay.
It may not be a commentary on the filmmaking craft.
It's consuming itself.
It's an amazing thing. Eight of these things, they've made billions of dollars. And hey, more power to them.
Oh, goodness. We forgot to tell you. Ours, at least, did not have anything post-credits. I know sometimes they add them late.
That's right.
But we sat through the whole thing and there was nothing.
Nothing as of the Tuesday night promo screening, so yeah. Boo. Boo on them. Nobody, like, resurrected that we thought was dead. No
yeah.
introduction of, like, hey, and now the villain for the next movie, it's going to be John C. Reilly. Or whatever. Some random surprise. Wouldn't be him, I guess.
Matthew Perry, maybe.
Sure. Actually, it would be anyone from the Expendables. It would be another Expendable.
Right.
Jason Statham. So next, it would be
Sylvester Stallone.
Stallone or one of those. Yeah,
because he loves cars.
He does love cars.
Watch Cobra again, people. Sit through that movie.
I will not do that. Can you imagine Stallone and Vin Diesel like mumbling at each other?
Yes.
It would sound like that, what I just did.
Right. Do you want me to? All right, here we go.
Family.
I never give up.
Family, quarter mile.
Over the top. If I can change, and you can change.
Anyway, and then what else? Oh, Gifted is nice and sweet if you want a nice, sweet movie. If you like that sort of thing.
if that's what you're into.
And The Void is perfectly all right if you want a good, nasty horror thing.
Okay.
Set in a defunct hospital. And that's all for this show. So, until next week, for Movie BS with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Baer.
Thanks for listening and good day.
I said good day.
Come on, Google Sheets.
I have those Jersey knit sheets. They're comfy.
Mm-hmm.
Are Google Sheets comfy?
Yeah, but they're slow as hell sometimes.
Slow sheets. That's a good nickname for a guy. Oh, Mr. Slow Sheets over there, if you know what I mean.